Amen. Thank you for that very much. Again, we are glad to see each of you in our services tonight. Do trust you're having a great week so far. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 10. If you find Philippians chapter 10 in your Bibles, you need a different Bible. We'll be in Philippians chapter number 4. You can stand when you find that. Encourage a couple of things. One, a senior luncheon tomorrow, and Brother Brandon Sneed is smoking turkey, I believe maybe some ham as well. He'll be up a good portion of the night doing that, and it will be worth eating. And so if you are thinking tonight, I wonder if I'm in that senior age group and I would be welcome. If you're asking that, the answer is yes, you are in that senior age group. And if you're still fighting against it, well, then that's up to you. But some of you, you know you belong in that. And so be here tomorrow, and we'll meet over in our Kids for Christ building. And it's just a wonderful time of food and fellowship. And so we look forward to that. And then next Tuesday night, we won't have our Wednesday night service next week. We'll have our Tuesday night service. And we're going to do something a little different that we've not done before. And that is, we're going to have a pie and praise service next Tuesday night. We're not going to meet in here. We're going to meet in our Kids for Christ. And we're going to have some special music. And then we're going to have a charge from the Word of God. And then we're going to eat some pie. And we're just going to praise the Lord for the good things that He's done in our lives. And just give everybody that wants to an opportunity to give some testimonies of things that God has done this last year in their lives. And so if you have nothing else to praise the Lord for, show up, get you a piece of pie, and you can praise God that you have a piece of pie. And one of our staff members said today, I won't say who, said, well, you know, they're going to have pie like 2 days later. That might be overkill. And my first thought was, overkill on pie? Is that even possible that you have too much pie? And so we'll find out. We'll find out and go through it this year and see. But looking forward to that. So be here next Tuesday night, same time, 6 o'clock. But we'll meet and have our service over in the Kids for Christ building, because we're not bringing pie in here because you get it all over my seats and carpet. And we don't do that in this building. And we try to keep this auditorium sacred, and so we wouldn't do that in here, but we will over in the Kids for Christ, and so look forward to that. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10 tonight. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. And so Paul is writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and he's rejoicing because it seems apparent that once again, they've sent him some type of offering. They've sent him some type of special gift. They've taken care of some type of special need. And he's saying, I'm rejoicing in what the Lord's done through you, because here, once and again, your care for me hath flourished, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's my theme verse every time I go to Oklahoma. This is how I can handle it right here. Whatever state, and I don't think that's what it means. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We love that verse, and it is one of the great verses of all the Word of God. And we use it in many ways, and there's many applications in our lives. But tonight, we're going to keep that in context. That how do we find contentment? How do we get to a place in our life where we're content no matter what comes our way? And the answer is going to simply be, well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for the opportunity to be in your house again tonight. Thank you for just the good crowd here. Lord, I know over in other buildings, there are large groups that are meeting together even right now. And just as is in this place, the Word of God is being opened up. It is being taught and it's being understood. The gospel is being preached. God, we trust that even tonight, the souls are going to be saved in our children's ministries and our youth ministries. And so, God, we're asking the way that you meet with them, that you meet with us, and God, that we would grow in our walk with you tonight because of our look at this portion of Scripture. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. There was a Russian woman that lived with her husband and two children, and they were in a very, very small hut. One day, her husband's parents lost their home, and her husband insisted that they take her in-laws into her home. Now, some of you may be all for that. Others may think, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, this lady, she wasn't really all that excited about this. In fact, she found this new arrangement unbearable. She couldn't stand the thought of living out the rest of her in-laws' lives with them living in that small house in that small confinement. So in desperation, she finally went to the village wise man who she knew had solved many, many problems. And she inquired and said, What should I do? How in the world am I supposed to handle this? What's the answer to this question? I can't hardly stand to live with my in-laws. The wise man looked at her and said, do you have a cow? She answered and said, why? Yes, we've got a cow. He said, bring the cow into the house and then come back and see me in a week. She looked at the wise man like, you're crazy. Bring a cow into our hut? He said, you heard what I said. Come back and see me in a week. So she went home. She got the cow and brought the cow into the house. A week later, she went back and she said, I don't know what you're doing, but you've made my life even worse than it was before. This is utterly unbearable. Not only am I living with my in-laws, but now I'm living with a cow. You have to tell me what you're up to and what can I do to fix this situation? To which the wise man simply responded, do you have any chickens? She said, yes, I've got chickens. What does that have to do with anything? He said, bring the chickens into your house and come back and see me in a week. She looked at him. She said, you're utterly out of your mind. Nevertheless, in all of his reputation, she went home and let the chickens into her house. A week later, she returned and she said, you have made my life absolutely impossible. My home is a disaster, and everything is chaos, and we can hardly move around. All right, said the wise man. Take the chickens out and come back and see me in a week. The following week, she came back and she reported that, life was a little better without all the chickens. But it was still pretty miserable. All right, said the wise man. Now take out the cow, and that'll settle your problem. And it did. Without the chickens and the cow, the woman, her husband, the children, and his two parents got along quite peacefully. See, everything is relative. Sometimes we don't know how well off things are until we lose out on something or circumstances change. One of the significant causes of a believer not having joy or the lack of joy comes to their lack of contentment. Contentment is an elusive commodity today. Tragically, Christians and non-Christians alike, they fall for the world's lies about the secret to contentment. Never, it seems, have so many people wanted so much and had so much and found so little contentment. It's hardly surprising. We're bombarded every single day with advertisements. And those advertisements' sole purpose is to breed discontent so that we'll buy their product. How tragic is it that we live in the most prosperous nations, in one of the most prosperous times of a prosperous nations on the face of the earth, and yet so many, even within this room, struggle to be content every single day. We live in a culture that is never content, no matter what they have. I was thinking about this just today as I was going back over my notes again. But if each and every one in this auditorium tonight, if you could go back 25, 30, 40 years when you were just starting out in life, go to your teenage years as you're leaving high school and you're thinking of your future and your future life. If at that moment, and maybe some of you had this homework assignment in high school that you had to set down and just kind of path out your life. And what do you see yourself, or where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? And you sat down and you pave out this path for your life. And this is what I see. And this is what we're going to have, and this is what life's going to be like. And you thought to yourself as you wrote those things out, or if you didn't, and you could have went back and done that and wrote it out, you would have thought of all the things you needed to be happy and to be content. Well, if I could get married someday, if I could have a family someday, they would all be healthy. If God would give us a house, God would give me a good job, if God would give us a nice vehicle, and God would allow us to have the means to put food on our table and clothes on our back, and you just went down the list of everything you want. Most of us, if we could go back then and see where we are now, we'd think, I did it. Everything that I would hope for, everything that I would dream of, everything I could have ever wanted, God did that in my life. And yet we've arrived there. And so many of us, we wake up every day and we think about what we wish was different. We wake up every day and think about how discontent we are because this isn't the way we think it should be, and this isn't the way we think it should be, and this isn't the way we think it should be. See, the problem is the more people have, the more discontent they are. Isn't it true that typically the wealthiest people in the world are the most miserably unhappy people? That's why you see so much suicide. You see so much drug abuse within the wealthiest of the wealthy. But here's the amazing thing. In marked contrast with the widespread discontentment of our world, the Apostle Paul spoke about contentment in his letter to the church of Philippi. Did you see verse 11? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I'm thanking you for this gift you brought me. And I'm so grateful for it. And no doubt it met a very specific need. And he said, I'm thanking you, but I'm not thanking you because I'm so desirous or I'm so in want. He said, because none of that matters. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said, in every area of my life, in every situation of my life, I've learned to be content. Think about what's going on in your life right now. Why aren't you content? What has it that would make you miserable? What has it that you're just unsettled because of this or that. Let me read you a text, and I just threw it in at the last moment as the Lord kind of brought this to my mind in my office. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the reason you're not seeing it on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Here's Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I spent in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily is the care of all the churches. So here's Paul. He's a 17-year-old boy. He's writing out what his life's going to look like in order for him to be content. And he writes out, here's my future goals. I hope that I have to work harder than everybody else. And I hope that that work leads to me being beat with stripes so many times that I lose count. And then I get thrown in prison a whole bunch. And then I'm very near death a whole bunch. That I would be not only beat with stripes 5 times, 39 times with that whip, but I'll be beaten with some rods too. And once they'll take me outside of the city like they did in Lystra and Derbe, and they will stone me. Yep. I hope I suffer shipwreck. Like, and have to spend a whole day and a whole night just floating around in the sea hoping I'm going to be rescued. I hope that I'm in peril everywhere I go. Like, I have to worry about robbers and I have to worry about my countrymen and the heathen and whether I'm in the city or the wilderness and the sea or among false brethren. I just hope that everywhere I go, I have to be looking over my shoulder because somebody's coming after me. I hope I spend my whole life weary and in pain, hungry and thirsty, cold, struggling to put clothes on my back. And I hope that as I go into the ministry, that the pressure of the ministry and the struggle of the ministry is so great that it supersedes all those other things. No, there's not anybody in here that think Paul would say that. But that describes Paul's life, which makes this text so amazing that he can say, I'm content. I found contentment. I have found whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full, whether I'm abased or whether I abound, in all things, whether I'm abounding or suffering need, I have found no matter what I'm going through, contentment. How's that possible? I hope you're thinking with me. How are you floating out on a sea after a shipwreck, wondering if you're going to survive or not, and go, I'm content? No, I'd be thinking, man, this is going to be great. If I get rescued, then I'm going to be content. Get my feet back on the shore, then I'll be content. Hungry? Well, let me get a good meal, and then I'll be content. Have you ever been cold? See, something's changing in my body. And I used to not mind the cold at all. But something's changed, and it's weird because I'm not old yet. And you all can look at me and go, you're not old yet. But I don't know what it is. I do not like to be cold. It was like 69 degrees in this auditorium. And I looked over at Gerald during the video and I said, what's the temperature in here? Because I felt like I was about to lose an ear. It was just going to fall off because my face is frozen. And it's 69. What's wrong with me? I hate being cold. I'll take the 100-degree weather and being hot. I don't want to be cold. You get cold, you know how it is. Like sometime in these next few months, it's just going to set into your bones and you're going to get cold, you're going to get chilled, and it's going to take you forever to warm up. And it's not fun. And here's what I think. Well, if I could just warm up a little bit, if I could just, you know, get a coat on, I'll be better. I don't think cold and contentment. But you can go through the entire list. And Paul said, it doesn't matter what is coming my way. I have learned everywhere, every day, in all things, to be content. How is that possible? Well, I think Paul tells us tonight the secret to being content, or the secret to contentment. Number one in your notes, he tells us this: contentment is a learned state. It's not something that comes naturally. We don't naturally go through all the things that Paul goes through or all the things that you and I go through and think, this is awesome, I'm content, this is okay. In fact, Paul says in verse 11 that he learned to be content, something he had to teach himself. Contentment then is learned. Paul's contentment was not instantaneous. It was the fruit of many years of faithful fellowship, learning from experience that he could trust the Lord to provide what he needed. Part of our problem is that we do not understand contentment and we do not understand where it's found. We have been taught in this world, hammers it into us that contentment comes from the people we know. I could just hang out with the right people, but people never live up to our expectations. We have been taught to understand that contentment comes from the positions we hold. If I could just get the right job that allows me to make a good income and drive a nice car and live in a nice house, I would be content. But what happens if we don't get that job? What happens if we lose that job? What happens if the economy takes a turn and we get laid off from that job? Please understand this and get this right here. Contentment is this: it is reaching the spiritual state that we are at peace with where we are and who we are in Christ. That is contentment. That God has me where He has me in this very moment for a reason. I'm going to say it again. I said it Sunday night. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I wouldn't necessarily choose these happenings. I wouldn't necessarily choose these circumstances. But I can be content in them because I know who my Savior is and I know who I am in Him. No amount of friends, no possessions, no money, no vacation, no change of circumstance can bring me true joy. Only walking with God and being in sweet fellowship with Him and accepting where He has me today allows a person to be content and at peace. Secondly, contentment is not found in possessions or circumstances. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul is saying that regardless of our circumstances, he learned this. Regardless of his happenings, regardless of his circumstances, whether he had money or not, whether he was in prison or not, whether he was preaching or not, whether he was in perils or not, whether he had abundance or very strained circumstances, he could be content because the secret is something other than what we do or do not possess. He believed this so much that he wrote it to Timothy, his son in the ministry. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is good. We should all strive for godliness. But you know you can be godly and still struggle with contentment? Paul's saying you want to get to a level, godliness and contentment. That's a great level. That's great gain. And listen to how he describes it. For we brought nothing into this world. I'm certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be content. Okay, well, time out. Yeah, good. I messed up my illustration. Everybody in this auditorium has clothes on. Security did their job. Let me see. Yeah, it looks like everybody probably had something to eat today. Or has this week, and nobody in here is starving to death. You have food, and we got raiment. Paul said, that's enough. You have that, you can be content. Hey, by the way, there's a lot of people in this world, they don't have the clothes we have. Even in our own country, it's getting cold, and there's people that don't have coats. And there's people, and there's families, maybe even in our own community, and there's little boys and girls, even in our own community tonight, that went home, and there's no food in their house. So if you have food in your pantry and you have clothes on your back, we're doing better than a lot of people. So right there, get our perspective right. All right? It's okay. The in-laws are in our house, but get rid of the cow and get rid of the chickens. Everything's suddenly okay. Get rid of all the other stuff clouding your mind and come to the conclusion you've got food, you got a house, you got clothes. We can be content with that. They will be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after, which they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It sounds like Paul saying, you're better off without a lot of money and just being content with the little you have. Paul tells Timothy, we start out with nothing. We end with nothing. So contentment is not about what we accumulate. It is about living with satisfaction one day after another. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You have Jesus, you have all you need. I'm going to run out of time, and I don't want to spend much time on this illustration, but my son Keith, we named him after my wife's cousin, Keith Webster, and Keith is a great friend to me. Owns a builds custom homes for a living, his own construction company, and several, and I'm talking several years ago, probably 20 plus years ago, and he bought a piece of property, and it had an old metal building on it, just a tiny little barn, and he went in, and he framed it out on the inside, and made him just a little apartment inside of this barn, nothing special at all, and he decided that he was going to change his life, and that he was going to get out of debt, and so he built his house in that barn, and he spent the next several years paying off the property, paying off every debt that he had, and then he started saving to build a house on that piece of property. And he wasn't about to do anything until he could afford to build that house in cash. And so he just worked and worked and worked and worked. And slowly but surely, he started building this house. And I'm telling you, it's a mansion. It is an incredible home. I said, where would you ever go for vacation that would be better than what you're living in right here? He goes, yeah, I know, right? He's like, I don't need to leave. I have everything I need right here. And no place I'm going to go and stay is going to be nicer. Here's my point. The night before we moved him in to that new house, I called him up and I said, hey man, tomorrow's move-in day. How excited are you? He said, honestly, I mean, it's going to be nice. It's going to be more space. He said, but can I tell you, Dan, if I wasn't happy in this barn, do you think I'd be happy over there? He said, my life's really pretty good living in this little apartment that we framed out in this metal building. It's not going to be any better moving over there. And he's exactly right. He understood this principle that contentment is not found in possessions and circumstances. Well, then where is it found? It's found in Jesus Christ. Third, contentment comes from learning to appreciate what we have in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That phrase is one word in the original Greek, and Paul wrote it twice. That means that it is something that Paul wanted his readers to notice. He's literally saying, I can do all things. I really can. I can go through all of this and be content. I really can. You can go through anything and be content. You really can. Why? Because true contentment comes from living life and understanding that everything pales in comparison to knowing Christ. If you're here and you're saved, how can you not be content? You have everything. He goes over and above that and he blesses us. But you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. My friend, you have everything you need. Discontentment comes when we feel deprived. But do you understand what you deserve? And when you understand what you deserve and what you have in Jesus Christ, we can be content in everything. So Paul looked in every circumstance and he said, I can do this. I can be content. Why? Because I have Jesus Christ. He looked at the Lord to strengthen him against the temptation to be self-sufficient, to be complacent, to complain. He looked at Jesus Christ when he was shipwrecked. He looked at Jesus Christ when he was in peril. He looked at Jesus Christ when the burden of the ministry became so great. He looked at Jesus Christ when he was in prison. In every situation, he said, he'll give me the strength to get through this. He found the Lord's strength was sufficient through it all in every circumstance. I read a short article sometime back, and I kept the article. And I just want to conclude, just a little application here at the end. Just four things real quick, and I know our time's done. But four practical steps that I saw in this article that they gave to becoming a more content person. It's an article by Rodney Chestnut, and I don't think that is any relation to the guy that does the hot dogs. I think this is completely different. Four practical steps to becoming more content. One, learn to act better than you feel. Learn to act better than you feel. Wouldn't it always be great if we always felt like doing everything we needed to do? Sometimes we have to do something because it is right and because it needs doing, not because we feel like it. To indeed be content, we're going to have to let our minds, not our emotions, guide our behavior. Someone has said it's easier to act your way into a better way of feeling than to feel your way into a better way of acting. Someone else said if you go through the motion, you will feel the emotion. Now I know what some are thinking. Wait, isn't that being a hypocrite? Kind of hypocritical to act and I really don't feel like it. Well, you have to understand there's a difference between hypocrisy and acting responsibly. I have this new grandbaby, and my daughter is going to get woke up tonight in the middle of the night, and little Tatum's going to be crying, and little Tatum's going to feel like it needs to have its diaper changed, and it's going to want to be fed. Is my daughter going to say, I'm sorry, Tatum, I would get up and feed you right now and change your diaper, but I don't feel like it, and I just don't want to be a hypocrite. No, she's going to get up even though she doesn't feel like it. She's going to take care of Tatum. She's going to go through the motions despite her emotions. And I've got a feeling that somewhere along the line, as she looks down at little Tatum and he looks back at her and she begins to talk to him and she begins to rock him, somewhere along the line, her emotions are going to catch up with everything. And she's going to realize, hey, this is a pretty special moment. And someday she's going to look back and she's going to wish that Tatum was this small and she could go through this again. See, she really does want to do it. Just sometimes her body and her emotion says she doesn't. And then she's going to crawl back into bed. She's going to nudge Zach, who never heard the baby crying in the first place. And she's going to be upset at him, but that's a different message for a different time. See, my point is that sometimes we step up and do the right things because it's the right thing to do. Number two, you want to be a contented person? Refuse to compare yourself with others. Have you ever noticed that when we compare what we have against what others have, we always pick out someone that has more, not somebody that has less? Isn't that crazy? We like to compare, but we always compare with the one up here, not the one down here. If we sort of feel sorry for ourselves and we believe we're deprived, we always pick out the family with more. We say, why the Smiths, why do they have two cars and both of them are Lexus? And why is their car, their house so much? And when we look at all the things, we fail to consider how many out there have less than we do. One of the surest ways I know to make yourself miserable and discontent is start comparing yourself with everybody else, because you'll always find somebody who has a better income than you and a bigger house and a nicer subdivision, someone that gets better grades or faster promotions, is better looking, taller, thinner, has less hair, you know, those things that you really wish you had. And then you get discontent. We got to stop the comparison game and accept God has us right where He wants us to be and has given us exactly what we need. Number three, very quickly, accept people the way they are and not as you would like them to be. After almost 30 years of ministry, I've discovered that you can't fix people. God can, but I can't. I can't change people. I can't. And if I don't learn to accept them where they are, I'm going to be miserable. I know I don't want to be long tonight, but one of the illustrations I often use with our staff is the illustration of Paul and the church of Corinth. And he showed up at Corinth, and these people who should have been mature Christians, who had every opportunity to be a mature Christian, these Christians who should have been eating the meat of the Word, we're not eating the meat of the Word. And Paul showed up on the scene and he's like, I wanted to feed you meat. I wanted you to be grown up by now. But they weren't. And so Paul said, but I have fed you with milk. And he fed them as babes. And he was content, not because they were where he wanted them to be, but because he understood where they were and accepted them where they were at and decided, I'm just going to minister to you right here. And it's not ideal. I wish it was different, but I'm going to feed you with milk. By the way, you want to be content in the church? Do the same thing. Just learn to be content with where the church is and not where you think it should be. No church is going to be perfect. You want to pick out flaws, you're going to find them. Number four, accept things as they are and not like you would like them to be. When we refuse to accept things as they are, we cut ourselves off from the present. And when we cut ourselves off from the present, we kill any chance we have to be content. You can't change the circumstances of your life right now. You can't. We can't change the circumstances of our country right now. We can't. There's so much out of our control. I worked at MCI in college and was a telemarketer. And went in, and I mean, I sat down with the headset, and I made those annoying calls at supper time every night. And I was horrible, horrible, horrible at this job. People hated me, and I hated myself for what I was doing, because it's not what anyone wants to do. And I was like right on the verge of getting fired because I was not keeping up with my quotas. And I'll never forget the manager in the bay that I worked, he finally pulled me aside and he said, hey, listen, we're going to put you on probation and give you just a couple more weeks. He said, but I really think you could do good at this job. He said, but I want to help you. Here's what you're going to have to learn to do. He said, Dan, you're going to have to learn to focus on the controllables. There's a lot in this job you can't control. You can't control the way the people on the other end of the phone are going to act. You can't control the way they're going to respond to you. You can't control what everyone around you is doing and how many sales they're making, but there are some things you can control, and you can control your attitude, and you control the way you talk to them, and you can control how hard you work and how hard, and he just started listing it out. You know, the same is true. By the way, I kept my job and ended up doing very well off of that advice. But the same is true in our spiritual lives. There's a lot of things out of our control. Focus on what you can control. Focus on the controllables. And that is, I can wake up every day and I can walk with the Lord. I can find my strength in Him. I can trust and put my faith in Him. I can have the best perspective that I can possibly have with His help every single day. And I can find the secret to contentment through Jesus Christ, who strengtheneth me. Every head bowed, every eye closed.